Do you remember when we used to podcast, Thomas?
Vaguely.
Yeah.
It's becoming a distant but fond memory of mine.
Yes, those were the days when children played cricket in grass fields and ice cream only cost tuppence.
Well, Matthew, things haven't changed that much because here we are sitting across a table from each other. But I think that can only mean one thing.
It's time for Tom Matt Attack. Glad you saved me then, because I didn't know where I was going with that.
I'm refreshed from my summer holiday.
You are. I'm jaded and sipping tea, and I've only had like an hour's sleep, so bear with me.
How did you manage?
Because we're cat sitting at the moment. We have two cats in the apartment, and unlike two heads, two cats is not better than one because they run around and they gallivant.
Ah.
And cats are a nocturnal animal, Tom. So yeah, I didn't really sleep a lot last night. But other than that, I'm pretty good.
Well, that's
so
good
it's
to hear,
okay.
Matthew.
How
it's good to see you.
How the devil are you? How was your vacation?
Yeah, fantastic. I can't say that enough. I really had a great time. 3 weeks is ample time to have a nice relax.
Yes.
So very happy with that. Ready and raring to get back to business again. Feeling rejuvenated and refreshed.
Yes. And that business is, of course, video game podcasting.
Of course it is. That's the only reason I'm back, Matthew. Just for
I'm
you.
I'm sure it is. Thank you, Tom. It means a lot. But any things of note that happened during that time away?
We had great fun. We with a fair bit of shopping. In fact, there was so much shopping in a way, I kind of got it lost its appeal.
Yeah.
By the end of it. But we had a trip to Derby and it's like, it's just a bit exhausting now.
Really?
You know. I say there was so much, we weren't actually going out every day, but there was enough, you know. Time that we had to go into town a million times in where I'm from, Crewe, because my glasses, I got new glasses, and I had my eye test, and then of course I had to wait a few days, go back again to pick the glasses up. When I picked them up, there was a chip in the lens, and so I had to wait a few more days and then come back to Crewe again. And Crewe isn't the nicest place to have to keep revisiting, I have to say.
No, it is the connecting point of trains to the north, and that's about
it,
right?
It's okay, I'm not going to bash Crewe on this podcast because it is after all where I'm from, but It isn't the most noteworthy town. And there's something slightly depressing about it. I've said this before, I think. You always get the impression that the people of Crewe feel a bit miserable.
Yeah, but the people of Crewe are the crew.
They
don't
the
say
crew
anything
crew.
On this podcast, you may...
But maybe they're not.
Regret.
But yeah, Crewe isn't the place it used to be, I don't think.
I don't think anywhere is, Tom. I think, you know, time makes fools of us all and slowly... Britain is fading, but it's all right because
I thought it's way depressing. Britain was lovely when I was back; just Crewe was a bit miserable. That's all. Actually, the sun was out in Crewe, so the woman in Waterstones looked at me funny though when I was buying Pokemon cards. She looked confused. She was nice enough, but she looked like, "Why are you buying Pokemon cards?"
Was this pre or post Pokemon Go?
This is post Pokemon Go.
Okay, right then. She has no reason to judge.
Maybe she wasn't. She just seemed confused for whatever reason.
Shall we address the social phenomenon that
this
is
all happened
Pokemon Go?
Since we last podcast, Pokemon Go has come out.
Yeah.
And it's taken the world by storm. Everyone's on it. Everyone loves Pokemon again.
Yes, got to catch them all. Got to catch
good
them all.
Good times.
Yes, had by all.
But people are very into it.
Very much
very
so.
Into it, you know.
I was very into it for that whole like first week it came out in the States, and I created a fake Australian account to download it, and I had 3 days off of my vacation before you left for yours, and I was running around them towns looking for them Pokemons.
And I was there ignoring your messages when you were outside of my
house. Yeah, exactly. I was literally outside your house. I caught an Eevee and I wanted to
I
show
wasn't
you.
Ignoring them. I don't spend enough time looking at my phone. But
no,
unlike
actually,
most people,
exactly. I was going to say, perhaps it's a healthy thing that you're not spending the time looking at your
Pokemon
phone.
Because Pokemon Go just increased the rate that people look at their phone.
It also killed my battery. Like, I have very little battery on my phone when I'm playing that game. So much so that the people who make portable chargers for phones
they're having a great time, aren't they?
Diving into pools like Scrooge McDuck made of gold doubloons.
Mike was telling me about this phenomenon in crew. You got the guys wandering around with backpacks on with cables coming out with their phones. So, yeah, people take this game very seriously.
Yeah.
It's simple, isn't it? I think that's the thing that's got people is it's got people back into playing Pokemon because it's very straightforward.
Yeah.
And it's the novelty value. I can't deny it. My girlfriend's got it, and we went out for a little walk just to find some Pokemon.
Yeah.
It's getting people outside. Of course, it's also getting under fire because of people now go outside, and so they experience the world, and out there in the big wide world,
things,
you know, there's lots of horrors out there.
Yeah, exactly. England is fading,
and
Tom.
Traps. So, yeah.
No, but I mean, you know, it's from a gaming perspective, and I mean, I don't think we're saying anything new here. This game has been out for almost a month now, and I imagine a lot of the people listening to this podcast will have experienced it.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm at that point where I don't really give a shit anymore. I've almost caught 100 Pokemon, and yes, it would be nice to catch more Pokemon, but I don't really care.
Oh, is the fact you're getting the same, seeing the same Pokemon again and again, it's getting a bit samey. And
it's just like, great, you can catch, like, 30 or so of these Pokemon to evolve your Pokemon into a Pokemon you actually want. And I'm just kind of
so that's how it works. You see, I don't quite understand the intricacies behind Pokemon Go.
So you catch the same Pokemon again and again. And I will say it, sorry people who have played the game and experienced it, but I know there are some people like Tom who can't play it on their phone, which is a good thing for you.
iPhone 4, you see, you can't play on this thing, unfortunately. Yeah.
So you catch Pokemon, you go around the world, they appear on your map, and you go, okay, cool, I'll flick my Pokeball at them, and you don't require any battling. There's not like an actual Pokemon game where you set your Pokemon on
the
wild
Pokemon.
No, but that
actually flicking seems like there's a technique.
There is a technique to it. There's definitely an art. There's a small reticle that zooms in on the Pokemon, and if you flick the ball into said reticle, it will give you XP bonuses and make it easier to catch, yada, yada, yada. For example, some Pokemon require candy to evolve, obviously, if they have an evolution.
Yeah, do they have to have a certain candy?
They have to have the candy of that particular Pokemon. So, for example, the easiest ones and what most people use to level up very early are Pidgeys.
Mm-hmm.
So every time you catch a Pidgey, you get 3 Pidgey candy. It takes 12 Pidgey candy to evolve said Pidgey. So you either need to catch 4 Pidgeys to get the candy, or every Pidgey you catch, you can transfer to the professor, which is kind of
the
equivalent of releasing the Pokemon.
Oh.
But for releasing the Pokemon, you get an additional candy, so you can catch 3 Pidgeys.
I'm guessing you can also purchase candies.
You cannot.
No.
To Niantic's credit, you don't.
Oh, okay. How do you spend money on this?
You spend money on, you can buy these things called lures, which some of the cynical stories you were talking about of people putting these lures on abandoned Pokestops, which are monuments or places of interest in your town where you stop and get Pokeballs. You can buy these lures that you put on those and it will attract wild Pokemon. You can also buy a thing called incense, which is essentially the same thing as a lure that you actually put on yourself as a player. So when you're walking around, you can have this thing that attracts
Pokemon
wild
smell
Pokemon
you and want
to
you.
To
be all over you.
Yeah. They do, yeah. They like your musk. They like how you put together. You can get a lucky egg, which doubles your XP. So if you know you're going to evolve a load of Pokemon or trade a load of Pokemon in, you can do that and use it to get more XP. And also there is the option of buying Pokeballs and incubators for eggs, because when you stop at these Pokestops, as well as items like revives and potions and stuff, you can get eggs, and then you incubate these eggs and you will catch Pokemon that you won't catch in your local area.
You mentioned revives and potions there. That means there is some sort of battling.
There is. There's a gym system, and so there are some of these particular points of interest in a town. They tend to be things like police stations and malls and monuments in
train
very public
stations.
Parts of town. Where people can gather and battle. And essentially what it is, it's a bit of a shallow experience, to be honest, but I understand
it's
fully why they did it.
Battle,
you tap on their Pokemon and you swipe back and forth to dodge.
Okay, yeah.
And that is pretty much it. And obviously, like, types play an advantage, so if you've got a fire type and you're fighting a water type, they will have an advantage over you, and, you know,
but this is just a more accessible version of Pokemon.
It's less so that, I think, because I don't think traditional Pokemon would work. Because if you go to a higher level gym, for example, like the max level you can get a gym to is level 9. And within the first few days, the mall here, which is called Bruggen, had a level 9 gym on it. And I was like, right, okay, cool. Well, I'm pretty high level. My Pokemon are higher than these. I'm going to beat this gym.
And when you beat the gym, what happens? You get a badge?
No. You get XP and you get the option of controlling the gym. And that has certain advantages to get the Pikachu coins, which you spend on things like potions.
Whoa, there's so much
stuff.
To this.
There
I didn't
is,
realize.
But the gym battling system is a bit crap, to be honest with you. It's kind of supposed to be the draw. Whereas I catch Pokemon now, I'm level 22 and have been for about 2 weeks now because I've not really been playing it. You get XP for beating the gyms. However, holding those gyms is no easy task. And as I said, this level 9 gym I was trying to battle, I had a lot of high-level CP'd Pokemon. And I was there for about half an hour, and I only took 2 levels off it. So it takes a long time to go through these battles, like, by swiping and tapping. And apparently now they've adjusted some things to the combat system with a patch they put out today, on Sunday when we're recording this podcast. And I will give gyms another go, but as it stands, the reward other than XP for, hey, you hold this gym and you get 10 Pikachu coins.
It's the glory, isn't it, I suppose, if someone going to that gym and seeing you held it and then that gives you.
It's very easy to beat a gym, though. Mm. Like, all it takes is time.
Time. Standing, well, how long did you say you were standing
there? I was there for about half hour and I only took 2 levels off a bit because there was 9 Pokemon on the gym.
Yeah.
And you can only battle with 6 Pokemon. And even though mine were higher level, some of them were like Golducks. And I also had a Golduck. So it was 2 water Pokemon fighting each other. And it was just tapping.
So then you need the right Pokemon for the gym. You need to get to know what's at the gym and then bring the right Pokemon.
Yeah, but like when there's 9 Pokemon, you're generally going to run into things that are higher level. And I mean, because you're not in the same way able to go out into the wild and like catch, for example, fire Pokemon, being in a coastal town like we are in Vila in
Denmark.
Where
do you get fire Pokemon from?
You get them from, like, dry terrain.
Really?
And it's just like, great, where the fuck am I going to get fire Pokemon? Occasionally, I've seen things, I've caught one Growlithe, like, but no, it's mostly water and,
you're
like,
you're
going
to have to work on
stuff.
That Growlithe, get him into an Arcanine.
Yeah, well, hopefully I'll hatch some eggs. So I got my Ponyta up to a Rapidash.
But I can see why people are into this.
A lot of eggs.
I can see the draw.
But there's no end game, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but is there an end game to collecting Pokemon cards or...
Well, like, yeah, I guess you're right, but I mean...
It goes on and on.
There's a social hook of regular Pokemon, right? Like, you're trading with friends, you're battling with friends, you're doing things together. And from that perspective, it's been nice.
It's
like,
great.
I've gone out with friends, and I've seen people, and I've talked to random Danish strangers I probably would have never have talked to say, hey, do you know where this Electrobuzz is? And they'd be like, oh, it's down by the stream. And then you go down there and you catch the Electrobuzz.
It's great. There are actually people playing it. I didn't expect this. I didn't expect it to catch on the way it has done.
Me neither.
It's good.
It is.
Good to see. And the social aspect seems really positive.
But I hope they add more to this game, because as it is now, you know, you and I, Thomas Parry, and potentially most of the people listening to this podcast, are probably the people in their social circles who would be seen as the person playing Pokemon Go if it hadn't gone off and become this crazy zeitgeist of a thing. And if people like us are getting bored with it, then there's probably not a lot there. Perhaps we are playing it more hardcore than most people would be. But at the same time, I just don't think there's a lot there really to keep this traction. Like, we were playing it with colleagues, well, named you off the air, who have no interest in games, no interest in Pokemon, but they wanted to be a part of it. They wanted to come with us, they wanted to go for drinks, and they wanted to play Pokemon Go.
But they may be familiar with the first 150 Pokemon.
Perhaps, but you would be surprised.
There's 250 in the list to collect.
Yes.
So that would imply that the Gold and Silver Pokemon are going to appear at some timed...
Apparently some post on Reddit event. Said December.
Yeah.
But I don't think they can really afford to wait that long.
Because, I mean... that's going to give a bit more life into the game when you start finding a Feraligatr, for instance.
Well, you know...
Totodile you would find first, wouldn't you? Feraligatr's the evolved
one. Well, maybe some people were lucky. Some people have caught Blastoise before they've caught Squirtle. You know,
you can catch bass toys. So yeah, have to evolve.
You do. You can. Mm. You can just catch them in the wild. Like Pokemon are everywhere, and there was a really neat
this
thing
is the
in
world
it
we live in.
That there was. It gave you footsteps under your Pokemon, saying like, "Hey, this Dratini is close by you. It's only one footstep away." It wasn't really clear how that system worked, but people said, "Okay, that means one of these circles that resonates from you as a player on the map is 1 foot. So it's within this small circle." Uh-huh. Two was then two circles beyond that, and then three was anyone's guess. Like, okay. I saw a meme in the first couple of days, which is like, oh, one's 50 meters, two is 100 meters, and then the third one was a map of the entire United States. But Niantic is, there was a bug where everything had 3 footsteps, and so you couldn't really find Pokemon that way, and now Niantic's just removed it instead of fixing it. So it's a bit shit. There's a few things they need to do to that app, I think, but I don't know if it's got the legs.
Mm. Do you know anything about the developer's previous work?
I played a bit of Ingress.
Ingress.
It's a very similar game. Yeah. It's about capturing points and doing things, and for me there wasn't really that much
GPS.
Yeah, incentive to go between points than there is in Pokemon Go. Yeah. The points in Ingress being the gyms in Pokemon.
So Nintendo have found a developer who's familiar with developing this kind of game.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, Ingress is pretty much Pokemon Go, just with Pokemon put on top of it. There's a few subtle differences, but I imagine they've
worked with Pokemon Company.
They have, yeah. It's mostly Pokemon Company and Niantic who've made this, and they've been working on it for 2 years. So I'd be surprised if they don't have the ability to put in the gold and silver Pokemon sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
And obviously, there's people talking about, like, the legendary Pokemon haven't been revealed, as it is currently the people who have completed the Pokedex. There's only 145 Pokemon you can catch.
Ah, so you're missing Moltres.
Yeah. And that's the thing they're saying is the teams that are associated with gyms. You all have a colour. For example, I'm Team Instinct. Yes, laughing at people listening to the podcast. They all have, like, different things. But for me, it was just like, I really like Zapdos. I want a Zapdos. And so I went Team Instinct.
Oh, so the incentive is you'll get that legendary Pokemon?
Nobody knows. They've been very shtum with it. There's Valor, which is Moltres. Yeah. There's Team Mystic, which is Articuno.
I've seen a lot
Instinct.
Of Mystic and some of the... Which one are you in?
I'm in Instinct, which is the yellow one. There's Mystic.
I've not seen so much of Valor.
It's interesting because I think it's all regional, because in the States it seems to be a lot of people Valor.
Oh, right. Okay.
Whereas I've noticed actually, like, browsing the subreddit of Pokemon Go, there was a lot of people who were like, oh, yeah, you know, like, Instinct making them the butt of jokes and going, oh, there's something wrong with this gym, it's yellow. Ha 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 ha. Like, there's a lot of stupid humor around
really?
It. But, like, I think most of this town seems to be the yellow team. It's the same when I went down to Germany for the weekend.
Yeah, you just pick your favourite legendary bird.
Yeah, pretty much.
I would probably pick Articuno.
Yeah.
I used to have one of them on my team.
You had one on your team.
That's bad. I wouldn't do it nowadays. No legendaries on my team.
No, boy.
Let's not talk anymore about Pokemon.
Yeah, let's jump off the subject of Pokemon.
But at least when we talk about Pokemon now, we know there's more people interested than we probably thought there were before.
Exactly. You know, more than that Nintendo Direct at E3 would have you believe, where everyone was like, get to fucking Zelda.
Mm.
If they'd have done that now, we'd have been fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what have you been playing?
What have I actually been playing?
Well, not Pokemon Go.
Quite a few things,
there's
actually
been a few weeks since the last podcast.
It has.
Plenty of time to... delved into some video gaming.
Well, I to be honest with you, I'm just going to talk about two of the games I've been playing, because if I start going into, oh, what have I bought and stuff over the last month, it being the height of flea market season, I will have to, like, pull out a scroll and it'll take 20 minutes.
I'll be doing a condensed list, because most of what I've bought I've featured on the Paris Pickup videos.
You have,
over
yes.
on the Blast Process YouTube.
I'll talk about three games. The main game I've been playing over the last couple of weeks has been Tokyo Mirage Sessions.
You briefly mentioned this to me before earlier. It's an RPG.
It is an RPG.
For the Wii U.
It is essentially the team behind Fire Emblem and the team behind the Shin Megami Tensei's.
Oh.
And they collaborated on this game that is... essentially, a lot like Persona, in that you are Japanese teenagers in Japan running around Akihabara and Tokyo in general, and you are all kind of embroiled in the J-pop scene of being pop stars.
Cool kids.
Yeah, and you instead of personas, you get mirages, which is harkening back to the title, and they are Fire Emblem characters. I don't know how it all comes together yet, but...
That's like some sort of avatar.
In the Persona series, you kind of have a almost like a Final Fantasy style summon.
Oh, a summon! Sorry, yes, that's what I was.
That fights with you in combat. Mm. In Persona, it was kind of like you would use them to fight rather than you fighting. In this one, they are your weapons. So it is the characters fighting, but then the mirages
and they're Fire Emblem characters.
The Fire Emblem characters and the other weapons.
Oh, that's quite a neat idea when you think about combining two.
Yes.
Yeah, things.
It's not like Fire Emblem. It's not turn-based, at least not yet. And I'm about halfway through the game, I think. And
battling's real time.
Yeah, battling is turn-based.
But you said it wasn't turn-based.
not like a Fire Emblem game, not like a tactical RPG where you're
placing the characters.
You're doing it in a more traditional
JRPG.
It is a turn-based. It is very much the Persona battle system and uses the Persona magic spells. So instead of like Thunder, you'd have in Final Fantasy is Zio and all this kind of stuff.
Not a tactical RPG.
No, it isn't. Well, not necessarily.
Not in that way.
Much like Pokemon, it kind of uses a weakness system, and you will see this is something that's in the Shin Megami Tensei games as well. You are able to go, okay, this enemy is weak to Thunder. Mm. But the way you build up your team in this game actually has a very interesting battle system in that you chain combos together, and essentially they're called sessions.
Mm.
And so the idea is like, okay, I will hit this enemy who is weak to Thunder, because I know if I hit them when they're weak to Thunder, not only will I get a critical hit because they're weak to this, but it will also mean that my supporting characters will also come in kind of like a striker in Marvel vs. Capcom and do additional damage without using their turn.
Yeah.
So essentially, it's all about chaining combos together and doing battle like that.
It's a great for them way for them to feature lots of characters as well if they have these strike characters in as well. So.
Yes, it is. But they are still your team. Like they are still the people. You will eventually get ability that I can't remember. It's like a passive ability. So the people who aren't on the battlefield with you will also be able to fly in, so you can do like crazy like 40 hit combos on these enemies and kill them very quickly.
Okay, but sounds pretty solid.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Also, there's not really a focus on buying items. Like you can buy accessories and armor the same way you usually would, but your weapon system is done by leveling up your Fire Emblem character in unique ways. Every time you kill enemies, as well as money, they drop like the essence of what that enemy is, and then you go to your hideout, and there's a character there who will synthesize these bits of enemies into unique weapons, and that's how you learn new abilities, is through the weapons you use there. Yeah. It's really a lot of depth to it. I really can't say I'm that fussed on the story, to be honest.
Yeah, I was going to mention what's the story.
It's a very kind of like show and jump kind of, hey, believe in your friends and the power of creativity.
Uh-huh.
And after playing Persona 4 and Persona 3, which have a lot more going on in terms of their story, it's a bit of a disappointment. But it's a very fun, playable game, and that's what's kind of getting
colourful.
Me through it. Oh, very colourful. Yeah. You have these things called improvisation, I think they're called. And essentially, because all of your characters are kind of embroiled in this J-pop world, two of your characters are singers, one of them's an actor.
Yeah.
They kind of have these moments where they sing like a J-pop song and then do massive damage randomly, which is kind of the equivalent to a Final Fantasy limit break.
Okay.
It's
does sound intriguing.
It's a really cool game. I'll show you after, but I obviously not your cup of tea, you not being a man of the JRPG. But for those of you who really do like JRPGs, I would suggest you check it out. I was going to buy Star Ocean, and then my hand was twisted to buy this instead, and
it's
I'm really glad I did, because
it's
a solid JRPG.
Yeah, and something the Wii U doesn't have a lot of, does it?
No.
Physical.
Well, I mean, Xenoblade is the one that springs to mind. There is probably another one, but that is the marquee title, but that's like 80 hours long. This isn't short either. It's about 40, 50 hours from what I hear.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm, like I said, I've played about 20 or so, and I'm not tired of it. It's a very strong JRPG with a lot of good mechanics. And that's perhaps what I've been missing from JRPGs okay. recently.
More traditional, it sounds like.
I just wish the story was better. Okay. That's my only qualm. But yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
What about you?
What have I been playing? Well, I've been playing an older game, actually. I was trying to think what I've had a go on. I was basically just trying out games I hadn't been able to play. 360 games, mostly, because my 360 is in the UK now. So I was trying a game I picked up a while ago, and that's Gears of War Judgment. A game which I don't think has had the greatest reviews or anything like that.
It did not get good reviews,
I think
no.
maybe that's because it's more of the same.
Yeah.
But it's well done. Interested me how the horde mode was worked into the single player.
Yeah.
As if the single player was just one big move to the next area, do a horde mode, then yeah. move to the next
That's
area, do
what I
one.
Hear the qualm with this game.
And
is.
I love horde mode. And putting that horde mode into some sort of story-based context
yeah.
was quite appealing for me. It felt quite arcadey.
Okay.
At least while I played. There wasn't so much set pieces or vehicles. The vehicles?
There are no. vehicle sections occasionally in Gears of War.
Yeah, I can't remember. It's been so long since I played the other ones.
They're generally like quite rail shootery though. Like you'll yeah. be on the back of a. You
yeah, that's right. You're on the
vehicle,
back of a big tank, like in Gears 2 at the beginning.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I like what I played with. I thought it was very looked really good. Yeah. In fact, it's one of those games where I started playing it and I didn't want to stop playing it. It had yeah. this kind of momentum that I was really enjoying. And I got this really cheap. It was 39 kroner from GameStop
yeah.
here in Denmark. So can't grumble.
Yeah,
can't grumble with that at all. So I sunk a little bit of time into that one. The other game that I played quite a bit of was Yoshi's New Island, because I've been yes. travelling around a lot, as well as going back to the UK. I was also went to London while I was in the UK, then back to London to get back here. So spent plenty of time on public transport.
Yeah, you spent some time at the Star Wars celebration.
I did, yes.
You enjoy?
Yes, it's a great event. I'd recommend anyone to go. It's a great experience. I attended lots of panels, so I got lots yes. of information. And Warwick Davis was the host,
Did you
before.
Meet him?
I didn't get to meet him. Oh. I actually didn't. I met BB-8, though.
Yeah?
That was quite nice. The puppeteer. Who,
yeah. yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, but while you were on your travels, you played some Yoshi's
I was playing
New
Yoshi's
Island.
New Island. And I remember you got this game, didn't you? Yoshi's mm-hmm. New Island. Did you play much of it? Or
I beat the first two worlds, I think. Yeah. I quite enjoyed it.
I'm on the second world now. Really enjoying it. I love the Yoshi's Island games. I fell in love with the first one.
Yeah.
I was playing it on the Game Boy Advance, so I didn't play it on Super Nintendo. But
weirdly, that's the only Game Boy Advance Super Mario Advance title I don't own, I realised yeah. the other day. I thought I had it, and I've left it a few times when I've seen it yeah. in flea markets, yeah. and I'm like, ah, shit, I need to buy that.
That's the classic, and I think the games that have come after have really just built upon that
yes.
formula. But they've always added something new. I mean, the last one on the DS, which, what was that called?
Oh, God.
The DS one. It's called Yoshi's Island DS? No.
No, it had a name. Yoshi's Island 2. I will look it up. No, it wasn't Yoshi's Island 2.
It introduced baby Donkey Kong. And
yes,
baby.
It did.
I say this new one is more in line with the classic Yoshi's Island.
Yes, it is. That's why I bought it.
It stripped back the extra stuff, but it also presents it in a slightly fresh way because now Yoshi is rendered in 3D.
Yeah.
But in a way, it still looks right.
It's actually called Yoshi's Island DS. I thought there was more to the title than that.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
But it kind of makes the characters and enemies look a little bit like they're molded out of clay, sculpted.
Yes, it does.
Gives them a three-dimensional quality they didn't have before, mm-hmm. which I thought straight away that's a nice thing. There are some new ideas in different giant eggs, which can destroy lots of things.
There's also Yoshi's Touch and Go.
That one, which
is what it's called over here, but it's called Yoshi's Island DS in America and Japan.
Touch and Go is a different game.
It looks like it's the same
thing.
No,
Touch and Go is a unique title.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. The DS is a different game.
Then this wiki's a bit screwed. I should not be trusting Wikipedia. Carry on.
But yeah, you've got these giant eggs, which is a cool new addition. You've got these little segments, you know, where Yoshi can change into things.
Yes,
and then
a helicopter.
And
or
now
a
you've
dolphin
got this tilting thing, haven't you? So you're a drill, or you're a balloon, or whatever, things like that. They're nice. Overall, I think there's some clever ideas in it, clever new ideas, but retains that classic gameplay, which I think is why it works so well, because that picking up, eating enemy, turning to egg, throwing them at stuff, It's all very familiar, but that's what I loved about the original. And I think there's enough fresh stuff in this one. Also, it's just the fact it's so colourful and charming and the music's lovely and it just makes me smile, which is what...
Yeah.
When I go to play a Nintendo game, that's the kind of experience I want.
The warmth.
Yeah, and I get that. I was... Whole train journeys, I was just engrossed in this. I was like, I need a change from playing Pokemon. That's all I'm playing. At the minute I've done the main game, I'm just leveling up Pokemon. I'm doing the same battles every day to get my levels up, and it's all becoming a little bit too familiar.
Yes.
So I needed to play another game.
Yeah.
Great game. Cool. I really like it. And I got it quite cheap.
I was going to say, did you ever buy Woolly World?
Yes, but I haven't got into it yet. I haven't played it.
If you like this game, you will absolutely love Woolly World.
I was thinking I need to get on it now because... how much I've enjoyed this one.
Woolly World is a game you should play with your girlfriend as well. I think it is a very nice...
Well, we will do.
When, couch co-op when game for couples.
Opportunity, yeah. The only other thing I've really played recently... I've played all sorts recently, but I'm thinking about things I've spent a little bit of time on, because a lot of games I've played I've just been trying out.
Yeah.
And this, in a way, is kind of the same sort of thing. I was trying it out today. I finally got the opportunity to play Disney Infinity 2.0.
Yes.
Because... interesting, slightly interesting story behind this. I picked up a PS4 copy of 2.0.
Yes.
I'm thinking I can use my Xbox One Portal.
Haha, oh, of course you can. Fool.
You can't on PS4.
No, you can't.
When I was back home, I found a pre-owned copy of the original Disney Infinity for PS3, along with its Portal, and thought, well, I know that the PS3 one's compatible with PS4. Yes. So I just picked that up, a fiver, quite good. It enabled me to play 4.0. So I got... Not
4.0.
2.0. Whoa, gosh. 2.0. I think I'm thinking about PlayStation 4.
Yes, you are.
So for, what was it, a total of £10, roughly, I was able to get the first two and the Portal. I played the Spider-Man. I bought the Spider-Man playset while I was back.
Spider-Man?
Because I really wanted Spider-Man, because he looks great. You know, yeah, nice he does. And colourful.
I really like the Venom one.
Yeah, I got the Venom one too, yeah. So I played a bit of Spider-Man playset this morning. Typical Disney Infinity fare.
Yeah.
Simple, but enjoyable. So, yeah, that's basically what I've been playing other than every other little thing I've been, picking up and giving.
You still on the Toys to Life bandwagon then? Like, are you still buying Skylanders?
Yeah.
Are you still
figures? In the UK, I picked up a few Infinity figures and also a few Skylanders. Game at the moment doing this thing where there's a bin of Skylanders.
Yeah.
And they're priced according to the release. So older Skylanders are cheaper. What are they called? Supercharged ones. They're still like £10 for a pre-owned...
weird
supercharger, which I need to get right.
Yeah,
but Giants were £2.
Yeah, wow.
Giants, massive things.
Yeah, that you could. I'll have to take advantage of that when I go home next weekend.
I picked up a few new Giants. I've also gotten the Shark Giant, which I really liked.
Yeah.
The eyebrow guy and the big Eruptor.
Were you looking? Do they have any legendary Skylanders or anything like that? Anything rare?
I didn't see anything. I just picked ones I like the look of. I do want the. The regular version of Trigger Happy for superchargers.
Yeah.
Because I've got the blue version, the blue car. But I really want the 3-pack where you get Trigger Happy, you get the car, and you get one of the air... Oh, no, was it the... It would be the ground, land level pack. Because you miss out on a lot of content if you don't have those trophies, which enable you to have new tracks and cups. So I'm looking for that at the minute. So, yes, I'd say I was still... pretty into the Toys to Life thing.
It's an interesting deal, and I'm sorry for people in the UK who this doesn't really apply to, but there's an interesting deal in a German company called Saturn.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of leading me to... I've noticed it a lot in Denmark
to
as well.
To Saturn.
People are selling off these Skylanders pretty cheap now, the new Skylanders supercharger stuff, to try and make shelf space for the next wave of Skylanders.
Yeah, I've seen them come down in price, but not as much as I would be expecting.
No, me neither. It's completely slashed the price.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, in Denmark, they've only slashed the price of Infinity figures. Like, 2.0 figures. I saw Iron Fist the other day. I was like, oh, mine an Iron Fist. It was still 120 kroner.
Yeah, I did notice, though, in Fotex that they got rid of all the Infinity figures.
Yes, they have, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if they sold them off cheap.
They did not. They just weren't there. They were there one day and they weren't there the next.
Yeah.
I think the Disney loss of whatever 100 and whatever million it was encountered them buying back stock and things if people wanted to.
Right.
Anyways, they had... Oh shit, I lost my train of thought. What was I? What were we talking about?
Talking about Disney Infinity figures.
Disney Infinity figures. Oh no, Skylanders and Saturn. They have a box that is this. It's a large, like they're calling it Skylanders treasure chest, and you can pretty much, you can pretty much
random
fill this box up.
With Skylanders?
With Skylanders. Like, as long as they fit in the box.
Oh, my Lord.
For
this
like,
sounds fun.
For, like,
let's
30
go.
Euro or something. Like, but it's a pretty big box. I was like, wow, we really, like, you're giving people the option of putting
this
these
just shows
things.
How many Skylanders are. These are second-hand Skylanders.
No, these are new Skylanders.
Oh.
These are, like, these are brand new Skylanders.
Okay. Because there are a lot of Skylanders about.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah, well, this is the thing, right? I mean, like, I was at flea market today and I saw a lot of Skylanders, but I don't know, like, we weren't really that into Superchargers. It's not something I can say that me and my girlfriend played in the same way we did with Swap Force. Mm. I don't think it's as good a game. And we've not really been that eager to go back to it. I will complete it eventually, but it's just, I don't know. We had a good run of co-op games with Supercharge, with Swap Force and Yoshi's Woolly World and even a bit of Epic Yarn.
Mm.
I don't know. Superchargers just didn't do it. Like, I think the racing segments of that game, I've talked about it before, like, the fact that the second controller is a gun is just really dumb. It just really doesn't have the same co-op.
It's difficult to play some of the more platform-centric elements where you're driving the vehicles,
yes.
I found, because of the way you have to get your head around what direction to move in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit tricky.
But yeah, there's lots of Skylanders around, but I've fallen off that bandwagon. I'm still interested in Amiibo, but I don't really think there's that many Amiibos I want now. I bought the Duck Hunt dog, and I do want Mr. Game & Watch and one or two of the Animal Crossing ones.
I picked up a few more Amiibos. I picked up Shovel Knight and Pac-Man. Yeah. I was picking up things I really like the figures of, and I know that the Shovel Knight one at least gives you some more content for the game.
Yes, it does. It lets you play co-op.
Yeah, which... Yeah,
I have the physical release of the Wii U one, so I need to get on that.
Thing is, the more figures you buy, the more you got to think about how you're going to store them.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily like to have them all out because they get dusty.
Yeah, well, I got them in a glass cab.
Yeah, that's
so
a good idea. So I've got a lot of storage solutions.
Yes.
So I've been collecting the bags, the Skylanders branded bags for each version of Skylanders. And the best one I found is just a straightforward Skylanders one where you've got it's a tall one where you've got another level, a plastic tray you pop in.
Okay.
I've got two of these now because I can put them in my bag, and when I'm coming back from the UK, they're really easy and safe to store. But I picked up one storage thing for just £2. It's just an official Skylander thing, a more simple one.
They're cheap now.
Yeah.
You know, people are not so worried about storing them rather than like getting rid of them. I think they're on flea market tables now, so you don't really need storage solutions.
Yeah, well, I've definitely got that covered.
Well, I mean, ours is just in a little basket, our Skylanders. Yeah.
When you've got as many as I've got, then you start to start thinking
How many are you on now?
70 something. I'd probably have to admit. Yeah.
Okay, I've got 32 Amiibos. So
yeah, you got a lot more Amiibos.
Yeah,
than I've
but
got.
I do want to get rid of some of those Amiibos.
I have quite a few Infinity figures now.
To be honest with you, I may as well just open them and I'd be done with it. I've got two Rosalinas now, so I got one in part of a Secret Santa thing last Christmas, so I should get rid of that. But the other ones, I'm just like, maybe I should just
put them in your cabinet.
Put them in the cab. I take it because your Xbox One is you're in Denmark. Haven't played Inside. It's a new game by Playdead, a Copenhagen-based studio who made Limbo.
Oh, yes. Tell me about it, Matthew.
I thought it was okay. I'm late to the party on this one because it came out the week after E3. So, again, this is a month-old game at this point. But I quite enjoyed it. I think it goes off the deep end a little bit at the end, which I'm sure most people who've played it will agree. And it's kind of one of those what-the-fuck things of this is interesting.
Mm.
But I don't know, it seems very vague for vague's sake of, yeah, man, read into it what you want. I don't know if I necessarily want that in a game that's so focused on the world around the main character.
It's exclusive to Xbox One.
It is exclusive to Xbox One. It's also on Steam as well, if you want to play it on PC. But pretty good game. Good solid follow-up to Limbo. Not so much a puzzle game rather than a platform game. But I think what they made is a solid experience, and it's short.
Mm.
And that's all really I can say about it. I think it's everything's already been visually said by other podcasts. Nice. Very good looking game, a very dreary atmosphere. It's kind of like Limbo, it's
more colour.
It's got splashes of colour in it, but very muted tones.
So they know what people like, know what people liked about Limbo. They want to create something that at least has the same appeal.
I think so. And I mean, it's very tight, and there are some brutal deaths in it, but not on the same kind of like, oh shit, level that they were in Limbo when you get like pierced by a spider's head or whatever. But like, some of it's
everyone
brutal.
Remembers
like,
that bit.
You get attacked by dogs and like you get mauled by dogs and it's quite uncomfortable to watch, but it's a solid game.
Is it better than, is it Ori and the Blind Forest?
Different type of game.
I'm just thinking.
Apples and oranges.
Because of Xbox One. Platform exclusivity.
Well, I completed it. I didn't with Ori, unfortunately. So yeah. I mean, that probably tells you
there
that
you
I enjoyed it
says enough.
More than Ori. First game I've actually beaten on the Xbox One. Actually,
you don't play a lot of Xbox One.
I do not, Tom. It gathers a lot of dust, and every time I turn it on, I get infuriated by that fucking UI. It's awful user interface.
Gosh, yes. I mean, I think the Xbox 360 was slightly better, but it's still neither of those operating systems are as good as what Sony.
No, and I mean, Sony's isn't perfect either.
It isn't perfect.
But it is better.
I love the PS3 one. I love the fact that you're able to organise your downloaded games into folders so you could find them easier. Because it's terrible when you've got just a long list. Of course, on my 360, I've got nearly 200 games there on the hard drive. Yeah. Maybe not all full games, but the amount of scrolling you have to do just to find what you want.
Yeah, yeah.
I've actually purchased a few more additions to my Xbox 360 arcade library.
Oh,
recently.
Really?
Would you like to hear them?
Go for it, Tom.
I picked up Sensible World of Soccer because, of course, I'm sort of collecting accessible football games at the moment.
This is interesting. You're probably the only one.
I'll move on. The version of Guilty Gear that's available on Xbox 360 I picked up.
Yes.
This is, I can't tell you which version of Guilty Gear it is, but it's the only one that you can play in 360 and it wasn't never available as a physical copy.
No.
So, because I'm interested in Guilty Gear, and I'd like to have one every console, I picked that one up.
It's the PS2 one, isn't it? It's the old Guilty Gear.
No, it's one that was released on the Wii and PS2, I think.
Yeah.
It's one of the, sequels.
Oh, okay.
Hmm. I purchased the Alex Kidd collection.
Right.
Because I really had a hankering to play Alex Kidd. It's not just Alex Kidd in this compilation. You also get Super Hang-On and something else, maybe Shinobi.
Okay.
Probably Shinobi.
Yeah, probably Shinobi.
And it's not that I don't already own those games, but I really wanted to play as a kid. And when I was home in the UK, my 360 was my go-to machine. It was in my games room. It's, it's a very accessible, friendly machine.
Yes.
So
always smiles at you, always says hello.
Well, I put a nice colourful background on my 360. I remembered you could put backgrounds on.
Yes.
And so I put a lovely one with blue skies and a rainbow, and it's it's all very nice.
Pretty.
Yeah. So I was playing that quite a bit, Alex Kidd. I got further on that than I'd done ever as a kid.
Yeah.
which was nice. Also picked up Fire Pro Wrestling for the 360.
Okay.
The series is long running. It's been a fan favourite among wrestling gaming fans.
Name rings
fans
a bell. Is it
ages.
The Japanese?
It's a Japanese series. Yeah. But they made a version for Xbox 360 that let you use avatars.
Oh, okay.
And it retains the same gameplay that makes Fire Pro sort of a unique wrestling experience and quite an in-depth one, but brings in the avatars.
Interesting.
I thought it was rather fun.
Okay, cool.
All these games are reasonably affordable, not so expensive. I can continue, if you like, with pickups. I've got a couple more.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I picked up a PS4 title that you also picked up as well. There were some sales on before the summer sale that's currently on, where some games are slashed in price. I picked up Another World, one of my favourite games, because inside, playing through that game made me really want to go, wow, I really want to play Another World.
That's interesting.
There's a lot of things in there, and thinking back, a lot of things in Limbo.
Yeah.
That just reminded me of Another World.
It was a revolutionary game, very influential game.
Definitely, and I mean, like, there's even a sequence inside where you're kind of doing the run, jump on a vine, swing around, run again thing away from a dog that reminds me a lot of the beast at the start of Another World. And I honestly love that game. I hated it as a kid because I couldn't get very far in it, but I've beaten it on, like, I beat it on Super Nintendo. I had it on iOS at one point and beat it on my iPhone.
It's great that it's come back and you're able to experience it on new consoles. What again they need to bring back is the sequel, Heart of Darkness.
Oh, man, I love Heart of Darkness.
Now, that's long overdue, some sort of re-release, isn't it?
I think it is, yeah.
The only way to play it still is on the original consoles it was released for.
I have a PS1 copy. I don't know why that hasn't been re-released, actually. Maybe there's some weird thing with rights or someone bought the rights to it.
I mean, it's probably a downloadable PS1 version, but...
Maybe? I don't know if there is.
One that was actually reworked for HD...
Yes.
But didn't take away any of the, obviously, animation.
It was released on PC.
Mm.
So, like, there is a higher def version out there than the ones available for PlayStation. But that's...
And in 3D, because I remember the PlayStation came with the 3D glasses.
Yes, it did.
They could do that now.
They could,
with the 3D television.
I don't think 3D TVs are on anyone's list of priorities.
No, they're no good, are
But I picked up a copy of Soma.
Soma? Oh, so did I.
You did.
Snap.
You didn't play it, though.
I haven't played it yet.
I did. I've got to be honest with you, I'm not really a fan of Soma.
It came highly recommended, but...
It came...
You weren't so...
It came with the kind of praise that... Olympian heroes got in ascending to Valhalla. I was told it would move me and give me a narrative experience in ways that I would never experience.
Like Rapture?
Yeah, perhaps it's there, but like, as I've mentioned a little bit on the podcast, I'm kind of done with walking around simulators, and Soma kind of seemed to be another one of those, but like a poor man's Bioshock. And that will probably go...
Anything good to say about it? It was about £6, isn't it?
Yeah, I honestly... There are no positives I can give you from my half an hour of playing that game.
Yes, I'm going to play it.
Give it a go. Let me know what you think. I don't know. It was kind of one of those games. It was like, oh, yeah, this is why I don't really play modern games.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm fed up with the genre of walking simulator.
It looked nice, at least.
Not really. Oh. not in the same way The Witness looks nice or something like...
Mm, that sounds fake.
Rapture looked nice, you know? It's a different vibe and it feels a bit Xbox 360, PS3 to me in that kind of grungy,
grungy space world. Can't wait to play that now. Did you pick up anything else in that sale?
I did not. Those are the only two titles I got.
I picked up Super Toy Cars, £2.50 or something. Okay. Even though it only had a 3-star review.
Yeah.
I watched the video, and it looked enough like Micro Machines to get my interest.
And? Verdict?
I don't know. I haven't played it yet.
Oh, God.
I just bought it before it came out, so I'll give that a go later. I did notice, we're talking about downloadables at the moment, that TurboGrafx-16 is available on Wii U now.
It is,
R-Type, Bonk's Adventure, and...
I can't remember what the third title is. There is something else.
Did you see that Shadow's Tale is available for download?
Oh, really?
Still, it's £18 Wii game, but maybe that's cheaper than buying a physical copy now.
Definitely is.
Is it hard to find?
I need to get a copy of that game. I'm still kicking myself for not buying it on Zavvi.
You wouldn't download it?
I want a physical release. I may do. Maybe it's gone to the point where buying a physical copy isn't really that interesting to me anymore, if it's over the £70 mark, which I think
it was last time I checked. Then £18 isn't so bad, is it? I did pick up a couple of physical games as well while I was back for the Xbox One. Haven't played them yet because I haven't been here. But I picked up Doom. It's £25 at the moment.
This good is job. For the special it's a good game. Edition. You will enjoy it.
Yeah. £25 seems to be the cheapest at the moment. Game, we're having a special on it.
£45 on Amazon. Okay, it's not as high priced as I thought it was.
Yeah. That's more than I paid for it. Call of Duty Advanced Warfare as well. I bought that for £6. I don't have a Call of Duty game on Xbox One, and it was nice and cheap. I was looking to see how cheap Batman would be, because I remember like a few months ago, it seemed to be really cheap. It hasn't seemed to have gone down, or maybe gone slightly up in price. That's his Arkham Knight, so
yeah.
I didn't pick that up this time around.
Okay, fair enough.
I did however pick up WWE Raw 2 for the original Xbox.
Okay.
So if you really want a wrestling game on Xbox, right, a lot to choose from. The three of them, Raw 1, Raw 2, and WrestleMania something, or the 13, I forget. It's really slow.
Right.
It's the slowest wrestling game I've ever encountered. But it does have some interesting things about it. If you want to walk, use a D-pad. If you want to run, use a stick. I thought, well, that's clever, isn't it?
Is it?
I thought it was reasonably clever for a wrestling game. Maybe it's been done before. It's okay. It was very cheap. I played it with my girlfriend. We had a bit of a laugh.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you need to have a wrestling game, that's maybe the one to go for.
Okay.
A couple of Japanese imports that I've ordered haven't arrived yet before I left were King of Fighters 94 for the PS2.
Yeah.
A game I've been wanting for quite some time. It's 94 remade with 3D backgrounds. Way they did 98 on the Dreamcast.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then King of Fighters Max Impact Regulation A. Regulation A being the arcade version of Maximum Impact, which is slightly different than the one we got over here.
Good job. Yeah. Was it a Japanese import?
It's a Japanese import.
Wow, okay. So you bought a different version of a terrible game.
It's not terrible, by any means.
I don't remember it being very good.
Well, I don't know if you saw my latest video or not yet.
I haven't seen your latest.
It's got to be better than... I still haven't played this game, but I'm imagining it's better than the Fatal Fury 3D game for the PS1, Wild Ambition.
That's a Fatal Fury
PS1. I'm very curious about playing it. Yeah. I can't imagine going that far back, it is quite as good.
I don't know. I mean, you know, maybe. Street Fighter EX. I'll give it a chance. Holds up.
I'll give it a chance. But that's it. I've covered everything I wrote on my little list here.
Grand. What else did I have to talk about? Oh, yeah. Well, I've been picking up a load of Game Boy Advance stuff. If you want to see what that is, go over to Twitter @GameBoyle and you'll see those there, because it's nothing really to write home about. It's been a lot of licensed titles like Strawberry Shortcake, Island Ice Cream Island Riding Camp, or something like that.
Winnie the Pooh
and Scooby-Doo and all of your favourites that nobody's cared about in 20
years.
But
you never know. Kids' games can be really good.
Some of them can be. Yeah. A lot of them are made by Game Factory, who've done some pretty decent titles.
If we go back and we think about the classics that we loved as kids.
Aladdin.
They're kids' games.
Lion King, etc.
But they're really good. And,
no, I know. And I mean, if the wonders of Biographic have told you anything, is that there are some good licensed games out there.
Yeah. I just think it's easy to discount Game Boy Advance games because they came much later. There's no nostalgia connected to them.
No, I don't think so, but I mean, that's kind of where most of the hidden gems are now, I think. A lot of these people making hidden gem videos for the Game Boy Advance, like
way,
Astro Boy!
Scooby-Doo 2 is really good. I don't know if it is.
Yeah, but
don't
quote
me on that.
You know, it could be. Because I don't think a lot of
people
are
to play these games and appreciate they actually were well designed. A lot of the Disney games on PS2 I found were rather fun.
I mean, a lot of ones I've played on Game Boy Color and Game Boy Advance have been good with Disney games as well. Mm. There's generally a level of quality that goes into those licenses.
Yeah,
Incredibles is all right. It's just a bit long-winded.
You find the same studios are responsible for them as well. Heavy Iron pops up a lot, who have been involved with Disney Infinity too.
Crawfish as well.
Yeah.
Do a lot of those earlier ones.
That's right.
Like I said, Game Factory have been doing a lot of, like, I picked up a Care Bears game and this Strawberry Shortcake one, and I think also, like, Curious George's Namco, which is supposed to be actually a very good game.
Yeah.
But anyway, I've been picking up those. I got a few other bits and bobs, but one game I bought today for the PS1 that neither of us had queued for was called Road Rage. I may have picked
it
up.
Say it again.
Road Rage.
Well done.
Because of Catatonia.
It's all over
draw
the front
my
page.
Interest. So I was like, oh, Road Rage. Bloody hell, I've got a Welsh accent. What am I putting one on for?
I that wasn't
I saw Road Rage and I was like, okay, cool. It looked like a Wipeout clone made by Konami. And lo and behold, it was actually pretty playable, though. Very hard. It was originally in arcade mode. And
those darn checkpoints. It's like Sega Rally all over again.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, I love Sega Rally, but it's so punishing, the checkpoints.
I mean, I like the tuning system in this. It was a pivot. It's called flap, which is ridiculous. But it's kind of a thing that makes your car pivot like 180 degrees onto its side to turn corner sharp. But it's quite nice. Yeah, like an air brake.
The commentator is very demanding.
Yeah.
They're constantly asking you to hurry up.
And to blow them.
Blow. Let's blow.
Yeah, let's blow. Blow them out of the water. And there's a lot of blowing going on. And
it's suitably arcade, of a good quality.
It is of the era.
But it is very demanding in the difficulty.
There are different modes to it as well. We were playing the regular arcade
there was
mode.
A free...
There was like a free run and stuff, which I imagine is probably more like a Mario
Maybe
Kart
free
style.
Run is like without the checkpoints. Maybe that's just all it is.
It's just racing, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give it a go. I'll have a look. Yeah. There was also a speed run. And after...
But it was incredibly playable and addicting.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It was a good game.
Never heard of it. Road Rage.
Worth a quid I paid for it.
Yeah.
This is all good. And then I've been playing another game that I wanted to talk about.
Hyper Drifter Sausages?
Oh, yes.
What's
thank
it
you.
Called?
Hyperlight Drifter.
No sausages.
No sausages. which is a PS4 game which has just come out, which I haven't actually heard a lot about. There was a lot of hype.
Hyper.
In the same way that it has been for No Man's Sky before that was released, which isn't out yet. It's out on the 9th of August. I eagerly wait.
I'm more excited about New King of Fighters.
Yeah, sure you are. But
it's kind of worms. One of those, sorry.
It got released on Steam, and then I think most interest kind of waned in it. But from what I've played so far, very good. Enjoying it. Played for an hour.
I played a bit, and I was suitably impressed as well.
The aesthetic is very nice. It kind of falls for me somewhere in the cracks of Fez, a little bit of Transistor, and also, of course, there seems to be a very Legend of Zelda kind of vibe in the combat, and you smashing things up. But that's, I think, just
over top exploration,
and using swords. I imagine the boss fights are big and evolving as well. But a very high level of depth in the combat. It's very fast, as you saw, Tom. Mm. You were a bit.
It is fast, yeah. It takes a bit of adjusting too.
It does, yeah. But then when you're in the flow of it, it feels very good.
I can imagine it be very rewarding.
I've liked what I've played a bit. I'm curious to see how long it is and if I get upgrades in a similar way I'd get in Zelda, because the game doesn't really tell you a lot. It's just kind of like, okay, cool. You figure this shit out. Mm. And for something like this, I would kind of appreciate a little bit more hand-holding in a Zelda fashion at the start. I'm like, hey, you should go here. But it's also very open-ended and that you can go to any of the dungeons first, it seems, like, and do these things. So I'm looking forward to playing it after I jump off the podcast machine. I will
a
give
great
it a
atmosphere,
go.
And that's in helped by the music.
Oh, definitely, and I mean the world design and the realization of some of the enemies and characters and stuff looks awesome. It's a very pretty looking game.
And is this high end of the price spectrum? Or
I think I paid about a tenner for it with
that's
PlayStation
good, that's
Plus
a new
discount.
Release kind of price.
I will check
isn't it?
How long to beat actually and see what they say in the legs it has. But it feels like quite a substantial title, at least anyway from the off. But then I don't know how far that goes. You know what I mean? Like, maybe this is about a quarter of the game, for all I know.
Yeah.
Hyperlight.
But, you know, short games are all right for me, particularly.
I don't that's
mind.
Kind of
but, yeah,
I'm
it's
feeling.
All relative to how much you pay for it, I suppose.
I don't really care about the price value. I'm, like, inside, I'm kind of good with paying. I think inside was, like, 15 quid.
Wow.
Yeah, 8 hours for Hyperlight Drifter.
Oh, it's manageable. For sure, that sounds good. It's all right.
It's, I'm good with paying like 15, 20 quid for a game that's about 4 or 5 hours in length that is solid.
It's quality, not quantity.
Exactly. And, you know, I think the gaming experiences I've had over the last couple of days have been made better by the fact that they feel more like retro games. I don't know if I need the big preamble like Soma gave me. I just want to play something.
That's a game. Game.
Game.
Indeed. And that's what we're here for.
Yes, indeed.
The game. It's all about the game and how you play it.
And no sausages.
Actually, no sausages.
No sausages.
Think about what we have for tea now.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm getting hungry as well. So let's call this a podcast, shall we?
I think we can call it that.
Good. Yeah. Anyway.
We hope you've enjoyed it. We've been away for a while.
We
See,
have.
Matt Massey's having a bit of trouble deciding what to say.
God,
next.
I can't even remember
it's
what I
should
say.
It's your usual spiel now.
Yeah, I know. Right, okay, I got to wind this up
Listen
again.
Listen to us.
I got it. I'm just I was going to tell the lovely listeners there maybe not be a podcast next weekend because I'm actually in the uke for a wedding again. Maybe we can try and record it before, but I make no promises. Mm. We'll have to see how busy young Thomas is this week and how much I have to do on a new boy graphic, because I realised I've only put out 8 videos this year, and that's a bit worrying. So I'm gonna try and go back to me one a week. Anyways, if you've liked the podcast, you can find us in a variety of places. You can go to blastprocess.com, you can go to tomandmattattack.com, you can also listen to us in iTunes. While you're there, please give us a cheeky rate and subscribe if you haven't already, and share the podcast with
other
people.
How we get the word out.
Yeah, think may like it, because that's how we get them listeners.
Yes.
And yeah, okay, we will probably be back next week. If you haven't already, go to Blast Process's YouTube channel to check out some Parry's pickups. You can also find some
Game Boils?
Some Game Boils on Game Boy.
Oh, Boyographics.
On Boyographic. Well, you can find some Game Boils, but I was going to say, Tom and Matt What would we call it? Best worst game.
Best worst game. We've got a few of them up.
Are
there on Blast Process YouTube channel? Best worst game. We've looked at such classics as Ninja Captains. Bomberman Act Zero.
Bomberman Act Zero, that classic. RC Toy Racer by Phoenix Games. And oh, the wealth of titles we've looked at is just beyond. Four. You should go check that out, yeah. But four quality titles with quality in air brackets. Should go look at those. Yeah, but as Tom mentioned, if you haven't already, you can also check out my YouTube channel, which is called Biographic, where I look at Game Boy games, and that's at youtube.com/biographic. This week's is on the Smurfs Travel the World.
And may I say, Matthew, it's very good.
Thank you very much, Thomas. Okay, cool and the gang, everybody. Until next week, you can also find us on Twitter at TMAcast, as well as Facebook at facebook.com/Tom.
Wow, I think you've covered all the bases now. Well done, Matthew.
All of them are covered, so we're getting out of here because they can't get dirty again. Game on.
Game on.